The scripture this morning from Matthew comes from chapter 5 of Matthew. It says like this. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Second reading from Philippians chapter 2. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. These are indeed the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You know, the theme for today as we do our study, and for those of you who might not be reading it, I encourage you to read this wonderful book, Down to Earth. The theme for today, of course, as you will be doing some more digging on this study today, is on humility. And, of course, down to earth humility. I thought it would be good to talk about this from the perspective of how this is a godly thing. You know, one of the things that I've found in my life is that, you know, humility is a hard thing. Amen? Humility can be really hard, very difficult sometimes for people to feel that that's something that we can do. You know, I think at one point some time ago I mentioned the story that I had, the experience I had, my first appointment in the church in New York. I had a funeral, and I did not know the person who had passed away. And but you know, I'm a new pastor. I've been to seminary, right? I got all the stuff that I need to have, and I have had the experience of other funerals in the past in that church. And so I was asked if I could do this funeral for this gentleman who did not come to my church, did not attend my church, but I knew his brother, and so they asked me if I could do the funeral, and I said, of course, you know, why not? And so I go to do that. I go to the service, and I have, you know, all my papers and all my service put together very nicely. And as I'm preaching, you know, as I'm delivering this message, and I'm on fire, right? I'm on fire right there. I'm just getting, you know, just, Lord, this is wonderful. And I'm talking about, you know, and you remember Brother George and how Brother George did this and Brother George did that, and how people are just so touched by George's life. And I see some people in the back, you know, laughing. And I'm like, you know, that is so not good. You know what I mean? That is just not nice. You know, people are laughing in the back. You know, this is supposed to be a serious event, right? I mean, you know, why would you be laughing at a funeral when, you know, when the sermon is going, when the message is going, when the service is going? And so I just ignore that, of course, and said, Lord, you know, have mercy on them. Amen. And so I just keep going. And so our brother George was, had a wonderful family, and people, and George was loved by everyone. And they're still going on laughing in the back. I'm like, and you know, I'm just now a little bit concerned. You know, this is so disrespectful, right? And then somebody from the front who's also now getting, now the giggle is sort of, you know, spreading, right? And I'm like, okay. And somebody in the front tells me, his name was Frank. His name was Frank. Yeah. A moment of humbleness. Amen. A moment to be humble. When you think you have all the answers sometimes, and when we think we know it all, we think we have it all covered. And it just so happens that sometimes we experience something that reminds us that, you know, that we're not in control. Amen? You know, one of the things that I've learned as I've been reading the study, as I've been going through the study and reading the Word, is one of the things that is the most challenging things for people in general, not just Christians. This is for people in general. One of the most challenging things is pride. We are prideful people, and sometimes, you know, sometimes we are very prideful, and sometimes we're just not prideful at all, and so we're just going to the other extreme, right? But the thing that we find that is most challenging for people of faith is precisely this thing called pride. I found something that it just shocked me, and this is from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, in his wonderful book that probably you have read, Mere Christianity, he says, he describes pride. He says, the vice I am talking is pride, or self-conceit. And the virtue opposite to it in Christian morals is called humility. According to Christian teachers, the essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. Unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all that are mere flea bites in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. Imagine that. The complete anti-God state of mind. I have found that the passage we read from Philippians tells us something about the character of God. Amen? You know, if we look at what Paul says in that epistle to the Philippians, it tells us something about the character of God in such a clear fashion, right? For the character of God is shown in God's own humility. Amen? I mean, if we were to talk about this Jesus who, in all things, we are told here that he let go of his divinity. That he let go of that sense of divinity, that sense of power, that sense of being godly, so that he could be among us. He could be amongst us. The character of God is consistently being shown as a God who actually exhibits humility. Amazingly enough, I mean, someone who does not have to exhibit any kind of humility after all, but God does. And in this case, if we are to look, because, you know, I think I've told you before, the one who reveals to us who God is Jesus. Amen? We know God because we know Jesus. If you know Jesus, then you know God. Meaning by that, that you have seen Jesus, and by seeing Jesus, by experiencing Jesus in your life, in our lives, we are able to understand how God works. For Jesus, we're told in the New Testament, Jesus tells us that nobody has seen God. Amen? Nobody has seen God. But Jesus, we're told in the New Testament, but he is the one who shows us, who is to show us a Father, who is to show us God. And through Jesus, we're able to see the character of God. We're able to see how God thinks, how God relates to us. And if we find any example in Jesus Christ, it's precisely the example that he offers to us by offering himself completely to us. Philippians tells us, Paul tells us in this letter to the Philippians, that Jesus surrendered everything. He humbled himself. The word in Greek that is used for this passage, which is a powerful expression that we have heard consistently, is this word kenosis, right? That the expression means in Greek is to mean he emptied himself. He just let go of everything. It's like, you know, you have a bucket of water and you just put it out, right? Empty the bucket of water and you have nothing left. And that's what the expression in Greek means. Jesus let everything go to be among us, to be one of us. He humbled himself so that we could actually understand the depth of God's love for us. He emptied himself so that we will be able to understand the importance of this relationship with God and what God desires to do in our lives. But I need you to understand what is godly, a godly humility. For it is in Jesus' example that we find that humility. What are we supposed to do as people of faith? Because you see, it makes no sense simply to say Jesus did this. I mean, we have heard the story. We know what Jesus had done. We have heard, we have read the story. But I need you to understand that besides the point of knowing what Jesus did, this also implies that Jesus is also the one we are seeking to follow. Amen? Amen? Because I mean, I need to be clear that we are following that thought. If we are following Jesus, if we are the ones who are saying we want to follow Jesus, we want to do the things that Jesus did, we want to live the way that Jesus lived, then it also means that humility is part of that package. Now, we find it very difficult because in our society, in our culture, and I cannot speak for the rest of the world, I can only speak for the reality that I know in this context, is that we are full of pride. We don't want to let go of our pride. I many times don't want to let go of my own pride. And I remember when I was younger, I was a little bit younger. and I remember, you know, I've always felt that I was just, good for nothing. I just was worthless. I didn't have much value in my life. And so I was really young, you can tell. I thought of myself as somebody who did not have much value. But, you know, I came to church. And in church, I started to realize that God loved me. That I had value. And so I also started to realize that, you know, all the years that I've been in school, I thought I was dumb. That I was not smart. That I just didn't have the smarts that it took to study and to be, you know, to be able to speak eloquently before people. I just thought I was just not good at all. But God was working in my life. And, you know, I was feeling good about myself. And one day I remember I got my new blue jeans and I had my new shirt and I went to church. You know, the time I worshiped God, we were worshiping God outdoors. So it was an outdoor church. And so... And I'm here in this place and I'm just looking good, right? Because, you know, I have all my stuff, my new stuff. And the Lord says to me, I need you to kneel. I need you to kneel. And I'm like, Lord, there is mud on the floor. What do you mean you need me to kneel? And just kept coming. I need you to kneel. Sometimes our pride comes in our lives in different ways. And sometimes we find our pridefulness impedes us from connecting to the divine. Sometimes our pride about what we have and who we are and how important we have become sometimes steps in the middle of what God wants to do in our lives. At that moment, I realized what God was asking me to do. It was not that God wanted me to dirty my jeans, which it did. But God was asking me to humble my heart, to surrender my life again at that point. So I knelt. And yes, my jeans, new, may I add, were dirty. But I learned that my heart must belong to God in all things. Now, I'm not saying that I'm the perfect example of humility. Amen? Not by any stretch of the imagination. I have had my own issues and I still have my own issues. I tell you the truth, it's my constant prayer. It's one of my constant prayers that God indeed gives me the humility to be able to follow Him. You know, remember what I said earlier about the fact that I was not very smart, right? That I felt I was dumb, right? So I went to college, and I graduated with honors. I think I mentioned this to you one point before. And so I was so proud, You know, I did something great, right? God, you know, blessed me with this thing about going to college and graduating with honors from college. So I went to grad school, and in grad school, you know, I'm so proud. I'm doing this, and I'm just really nailing it, right? So I got my only C grade in one of my courses. Of all the courses to have a C in seminary, for me, history. That was completely inappropriate. You know what I mean? Completely inappropriate. I got a C. And my entire seminary career, everything else was A's and B's. But that C stayed with me. Then I went to do my doctoral studies. You know how that works, right? And you go really strong and you think you got it all together. And so I went to school and I did that. All my grades were A's. Except for that B. That B stuck with me. Then I went on because I wanted to pursue something more, right? So I went to do this thing about, you know, pursuing a PhD. So I went to school pursuing that. And then, you know, I got all A's. Except for one B. And I realized, God is teaching me something. Amen? Something about being humble. Something about realizing that this is not me. That my achievements are not about me. It's about God's work in my life. It's about what God is doing in our lives. That we need to focus on that thing that God is doing in our lives instead of trying to focus on what I'm able to accomplish. For the thing that is most important for Christians is actually to be humble, because in humility and through humility we accept the fact that we are faultless. I mean, that we are people who have faults, that we are indeed people who have limitations. Amen. That we are people who need the grace of God. That we are people who need God's love and power and mercy in our lives so that we can experience indeed that God present in our lives. Humility allows us to see God, because humility shows us our limitations, our shortcomings. Humility helps us to see God in different ways. It is a challenging thing because we live in a culture that tells us the opposite, that pushes in a different direction. But to follow Jesus, the one who humbled himself to the point of becoming one of us, to the point of giving his life for us. That is the example that we have in front of us. That is the lesson we have in front of us. Do we want to follow Jesus, or do we want to follow our own devices? Would you pray with me? Loving, blessed, glorious God, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here, Lord, and to worship your name. And we pray, Lord, that you continue to speak to our hearts. Loving God, we know that you want us to learn from you. We know, Lord, that you desire for us to grow and learn in our understanding of who you are. And the first example we receive from you, O Lord, is humility. Help us, O Lord, to grapple with the reality of humility and all the implications that it has for our lives, Lord, that we may indeed humble ourselves before you, Lord, that we may let go, O God, of all the things that we feel are important and put it all in your hands, Lord. Help us, O God, to open ourselves completely to you. Help us, O God, to empty ourselves completely so that we may allow you to come into our lives, Lord, and lead us. Loving God, we want to be in relation with you. Continue to speak to our hearts, Lord. And as we go to continue our study, O Lord, this morning, may you continue to speak to us, Lord, that we may continue to learn from you. Loving God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.